steam engine rests by a water tower that reads River City Junction, Matthew Broderick, Meredith Wilsons, The Music Man, Kristen Chenoweth, Deborah Monk, David Aaron Baker, Linda Cash, Patrick McKenna, introducing Cameron Monaghan, with Victor Garber as Mayor Shin, and Molly Shannon as Mrs. Shin, in a car.
River City Junction, River City, next station stop, River City next. But
it's them big new department stores back east. They let folks buy anything on credit. If I don't give credit, I'm going to lose customers.
You're crazy with the heat. Credit is no good for an ocean salesman.
Why not? What's the matter with credit?
It's old-fashioned. Charlie, you're an Anvil salesman. Your firm give credit?
No, sir.
Nor anybody else.
Cash for the merchandise. Cash for the button hooks.
Cash for the cotton goods. Cash for the hard goods.
Cash for the soft goods. Cash for the fancy goods.
Cash for the noggins and the piggins and the firkins.
Cash for the hogshead cask and demijohn. Cash for the crackers and the pickles and the flypaper.
Look, what do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk?
Where do you get it?
What do you talk?
You can talk, you can talk. You can bicker, you can talk. You can bicker, bicker, bicker. You can talk, you can talk. You can talk, 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 talk. Bicker, bicker, bicker. You can talk all you wanna, but it's different than it was.
No, it ain't. No, it ain't. But you gotta know the territory.
Why, it's the Model T Ford. May the trouble, may the people wanna go, wanna get up and go 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 22, 23 miles to the county seat.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Who's gonna patronize a little bitty 2x4 kind of store anymore?
What do you talk? What do you talk?
Where do you get it?
Not the Model T at all. Take a gander at the store, at the modern store, at the present day store, at the present day modern departmentalized grocery store.
What do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk?
Where do you get it?
What do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk?
Where do you get it?
You can talk, you can bicker, you can talk, you can bicker. You can talk, 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 bicker, bicker, bicker. You can talk all you wanna, but it's different than it was.
No, it ain't, but you gotta know the territory.
Why, it's the you need a biscuit made the trouble. You need to put the crackers in a package, in a package. The you need a biscuit in an airtight sanitary package made the Cracker Barrel obsolete. Obsolete,
obsolete, obsolete, obsolete.
Cracker Barrel went out the window with the mail pouch cut plug chawn by the stove. Changed the approach of a traveling salesman. Made it pretty hard.
No, it didn't, no, it didn't, but you gotta know the territory.
Gone, gone. Gone with the hogshead cask and demijohn. Gone with the sugar barrel, pickle barrel, milk pan. Gone with the tub and the pail and the tears.
Ever meet a fella by the name of Hill?
Hill.
Hill?
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 Hill!
No!
Just a minute, just a minute, just a minute.
Never heard of any salesman, Hill.
Now, he doesn't know the territory.
Doesn't know the territory? What's the fella's line?
Never worries about his line.
Never worries about his line.
Or the Cracker Barrel being obsolete, or the you need a biscuit in an airtight sanitary package, or the Model T Ford.
Just a minute, just a minute, just a minute.
Never worries about his line.
Never worries about his line.
Or a doggone thing. He's just a bang, beat, bell, ringing, big, all great, go, necker, nothing, rip, roaring, every time a bullseye salesman. That's Professor Harold Hill. Harold Hill.
Tell us, what's his line?
What's his line?
He's a fake, and he doesn't know the territory.
Look, what do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk? What do you talk?
He's a music man.
He's a what?
He's a what?
He's a music man, and he sells clarinets to the kids in the town with the big trombones and the rat-a-tat drums and the big brass bass,
and the piccolo,
uniforms too, with the shiny gold braid on the coat and the big red stripe running.
Well, I don't know much about bands, but I do know you can't make a living selling big trombones. No, sir.
Mandolin picks, perhaps, and here and there a Jew's harp.
No, the fella sells bands. Boys, bands. I don't know how he does it, but he lives like a king, and he dallies, and he gathers, and he plucks, and he shines. And when the man dances, certainly, boys, what else? The piper pays him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When the man dances, certainly, boys, what else? The piper pays him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But he doesn't know the territory.
The train lurches to a halt. A suitcase falls on Charlie.
River City!
River City! River City! We've crossed the state line into Iowa. River City, population 2212. Cigarettes illegal in this state. What?
All right, if you're all through, I'll tell you about Harold Hill.
You really know Harold Hill?
I never saw him in my life, but I know this much. He's giving every one of us a black eye. After he's worked the town over, the very next salesman automatically gets tarred and feathered, rode out to the city limits on a rail. You think that's funny? Well, wait till it happens to you. The hair never grows back.
But why should he get rode out of town on a rail?
Because in order to sell band instruments and uniforms and instruction booklets, he has to guarantee to teach them kids to play.
Well?
And form them kids into a band with himself as the leader.
What's wrong with that?
You don't know one note from another. That's what's wrong with that. He can't tell a bass drum from a pipe organ.
I'll catch up with that swindling two-bit thimble rigger. And when I do, I'm going to squeal on him so loud.
Pardon. Yeah, sure would like to be around you catch up with that fella.
Me too.
Well, it won't be on this trip, not in Iowa. Even the great Professor Hill wouldn't try to sell them neck-bowed Hawkeyes out here, huh?
Book, music, and lyrics by Meredith Wilson.
Gentlemen, you intrigue me. I think I'll have to give Iowa a try.
I don't believe I caught your name.
Don't believe I threw it.
His suitcase reads, Professor Harold Hill.
Harold Hill.
It's him! It's you! You're Harold Hill!
Based on a story by Meredith Wilson.
You're Harold Hill!
And Franklin Lacy.
That's him, fellas. That's him. That's the fellow. That's Harold Hill!
From the train platform, Harold touches his hat brim. Through the Venetian blinds, they watch him enter the station.
I won't forget your face, Hill!
Original underscore by Danny True. Music produced and conducted by Michael Kosarin. Musical staging and choreography by Kathleen Marshall. Edited by Jeffrey Rowland. Brian M. Horn. Produced by John M. Eckert. Harold leaves the station. Two men on ladders hang red, white, and blue bunting.
Good day. Got a hotel in this town?
Yeah, it's not in town.
Can you tell me where it is?
Straight through town, turn right, come to the fork, go on from there.
Left or right?
Doesn't matter to me.
Thanks anyway.
Oh, there's nothing halfway about the Iowa way to treat you when we treat you, which we may not do at all.
Bunting decorates a sign that reads River City, Iowa.
There's an Iowa kind, a special chip on the shoulder, attitude you've never been without
that we recall.
Can stand touching noses for a week at a time and never see eye to eye.
But what the heck? You're welcome. Join us at the picnic. You can have your fill of all the food you bring yourself.
Harold makes his way down the street.
You really ought to give Iowa a try.
Provided you are contrary.
Co-executive producer Jeff Blechner. Two boys slide to a stop by a store.
Good afternoon, Mayor Shin.
Good afternoon, Mayor Shin.
It is, if you want to go around in your drawers all day.
There I was at Madison Hospital, and nobody come to see me. Cousin Will never come, and Aunt Bertha never come.
Aunt Bertha's dead.
Ah, she wouldn't have come anyway.
Executive producers Craig Zaden, Neil Marin. Adaptation by Sally Robinson. Directed by Jeff Blechner. Three young men scowl as Harold passes. Three men urge a mule forward.
But we'll give you our shirt and a bat to go with it. If your crop should happen to die.
So what the heck? You're welcome. Glad to have you with us, even though we may not ever mention it again.
Harold joins a group picture.
You really ought to give Iowa, Hawkeye, Iowa, Dubuque, Des Moines, Davenport, Marshalltown, Mason City, Keokuk, Ames, Clear Lake. Ought to give Iowa a try.
To give Iowa a try.
Harold, in brown pants and a light gray plaid jacket, strides into the hotel. He removes his brown hat as he enters.
I'd like a room near a bath, please. Facing the back.
Gregory!
Marcellus!
Why, you old son of a gun!
Shh.
But Greg...
Hill's the name. Professor Harold Hill.
But Greg, what are you doing here? Why didn't you let me know you was coming?
I didn't know I was myself. Besides, how could I know you'd end up in a little tank town like this? You're a pretty big slicker when you're in business with me.
Too many close shaves, Hawkins, for you. Besides, I got me a nice, comfortable girl. Ethel Toffelmeyer, my boss's niece.
Gone legitimate, huh? Always knew you'd come to no good.
So, what's the new pitch?
Harold conducts.
Oh, you're not back in a band business. I heard you was in steam automobiles.
I was.
What happened?
Somebody actually invented one.
No!
So, give me the lowdown around here, Mars.
Oh, you never get anywhere in the band business with these stubborn Iowans, Greg.
Marcellus takes his case.
Besides,
We've got this stuck-up music teacher who'll expose you before you get your grip on paper.
Male or female?
The music teacher? She's a librarian. Female.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to hear. If she passes by, point her out to me.
I will.
They enter room 25. Marcellus drops the case on the bed.
This your best room?
Afraid so. How are you going to start the pitch?
Same old way. Keep that music teacher off balance. And my next step will be to get your town out of the serious trouble it's in.
River City isn't in any trouble.
Then I'll have to create some. I've got to create a desperate need for a boys' band. You remember. Now, what's new around here, Marce? What can I use?
The sign in the case reads...
Let's see. Nothing.
Join Professor Harold Hill's boys' band.
Except the billiard pot has just put in a new pool table.
They never had a pool table here before?
No, only billiards.
That'll do. I'll see you downstairs in a little while, Marce. And you can show me around. Don't forget.
They wiggle their fingers.
Music teacher.
Music teacher.
Outside, carrying his case and wearing a straw hat, Harold follows Marcellus.
There it is.
Remember.
Harold hands off his case and wiggles his fingers. He approaches a man in a white apron who sweeps.
Excuse me, sir. Is this your store?
Yep.
Well, either you are closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player, certainly. Mighty proud to say, I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help you cultivate horse sense and a cool head and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try and give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a balkline game, I say that any boob can take and shelve a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. First, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit, listening to some big out-of-town Jasper, hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they sit down right on a horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy setting on Dan Patch. Make your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean.
Townspeople follow Harold into the street.
You got one, two, three, four, five, six pockets in a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum, with a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. And all week long, your River City youth will be frittering away. I say your young men will be frittering. Frittering away there, noontime, supper time, chore time too. Get the ball in the pocket, never mind getting dandelions pulled, or the screen door patched, or the beefsteak pounded. Never mind pumping any water till your parents are caught with a cistern empty on a Saturday night, and that's trouble. Oh, yes, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbocker, shirt-tailed young ones peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble. Folks right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm gonna be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They'll be trying out Bevo, trying out Cubebs, trying out TaylorMades like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're gonna cover up a telltale breath with Sensen one fine night. They leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the armory. Libertine men and scarlet women in ragtime. Shameless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, with the arms of a jungle, animal instinct, masteria. Friend, the idle brain is the devil's playground trouble.
Oh, trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here in
the capital. Harold hops on the back of a passing wagon.
For pool. We surely got trouble.
We surely got trouble.
Right here in River City.
Right here.
Gotta figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school.
He alights and mounts the steps of the bank.
Mothers of River City, heed the warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of corruption. The moment your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain on his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the corn crib? Is he memorizing jokes out of Captain Billy's whiz-bang?
A man snatches a booklet from a boy.
Are certain words creeping into his conversation? Words like swell. And so's your old man. Well, if so, my friend, you got trouble.
Oh, we got
right here in River City. Where the capital T and that rhymes with P and that stands for pool.
Harold leads them into the billiard parlor.
Got trouble. Right here in River City.
Right here.
Remember the Maine, Plymouth, rock and the golden rule.
Children, children gonna have trouble.
Oh, we got trouble. We're in terrible, terrible trouble. That game of the 15-numbered balls of the devil's toe. We got trouble, trouble,
Carol,
trouble.
Harold, with a pool cue in his hand, is boosted onto the table.
We're the T.
Glance the cue.
Not a rhyming with P.
Dances around it.
That stands for pool.
A woman with sandy blonde hair and tight curls observes them through the window. Marcellus wiggles his fingers and points to the window.
Right here in River City.
Harold passes the cue and hops from the table. The woman walks away. Harold retrieves his hat and case and follows her. She carries a satchel primly in front of her. Her ankle-length skirt skims her heeled shoes. She looks over her shoulder. Harold tips his hat. She marches around a corner, her hair pinned up under her straw hat. Harold's tan and cream shoes keep pace with hers. She looks over her shoulder and quickens her pace. Harold steps off the walk behind foliage. She checks over her shoulder and frowns. Passing a white lattice arbor and picket fence, she looks behind again. Harold appears in front of her. She pauses and lifts her chin, then resumes her stride. Harold doffs his hat as he passes. He drops a handkerchief.
Did you drop your...
No.
Didn't we meet in...
No.
I'll only be in town a short while.
Good.
She closes the gate firmly and enters a two-story white clapboard house. Through the window, a young girl plays an upright piano. A red-headed woman in a white apron leans over her and plays the correct note.
Is that you, daughter?
Yes, Mama. Keep on, Amaryllis. I'll be there in a minute.
Harold raises a brow and leaves.
Fine, dear. Now your exercises.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Mama.
I don't remember the library being open this late last summer.
It was, Mama. You just don't recall. Mama, a man with a suitcase has been following me all over town.
Oh, who?
I don't know. I've never seen him before.
Did he say anything?
He tried.
Did you say anything?
Mama. Of course not. Now don't dawdle, Amaryllis.
So do-la-ray-ty me a little slower, and please keep the fingers curved as nice and high as you possibly can.
Don't get faster, dear.
If you don't mind my saying so, it wouldn't have hurt you to find out what the gentleman wanted.
I know what the gentleman wanted.
What, dear?
You'll find it in Balzac.
Oh, excuse me for living, but I never read it.
Neither has anyone else in this town.
There you go again with that same old comment about the low mentality of River City people and taking it all too much to heart.
The girl stares at the women.
Now, Mama, as long as the Madison Public Library was entrusted to me for the purpose of improving River City's cultural level, I can't help my concern that the ladies of River City keep ignoring all my counsel and advice.
But, darling... When a woman has a husband and you've got none, why should she take advice from you? Even if you can quote Balzac and Shakespeare and all them other highfalutin Greeks.
Mama, if you don't mind my saying so, you have a bad habit of changing every subject.
No, I haven't changed a subject. I was talking about that stranger.
What stranger?
With the suitcase who may be your very last chance.
Mama, do you think that I'd allow a common masher? Now, really, Mama, I have my standards where men are concerned, and I have no intention.
I know all about your standards, and if you don't mind my saying so, there's not a man alive who could hope to measure up to that blend of Paul Bunyan, St. Patino, or Webster you've concocted for yourself out of your Irish imagination, your Iowa stubbornness, and your library full of books.
Well, if that isn't the best I've ever heard.
Thank you. Can I have a drink, too, please? May I have a drink, please?
Yes, dear.
A small boy and a large white dog bound in.
It's after dark. Is that a way to greet your mother? I'd like to know.
Hello.
Well, that won't do at all. I'll have a kiss, if you please.
The mother removes his cap and leans down.
One for your sister, too.
He kisses the blonde.
Hello, Winthrop. I'm having a party on Saturday. Will you please come? I would especially like it very much if you'd come, Winthrop.
Well, Winthrop, come let us ask you to our party. Are you going or aren't you?
No.
No what?
No, thank you.
You know the little girl's name.
He won't say Amaryllis because of the S, because of his lisp.
Yeah, we know all about his lisp, Amaryllis. Well, Winthrop?
I'll bet he won't say it.
No, thank you, Amaryllis.
The girl giggles behind her hands. The boy's face falls. He looks to his mother, then at his sister, and runs from the room.
Winthrop, honey.
Why does he get so mad at people just because he lisps?
Not only because he lisps. That's just part of it, Amaryllis.
What's the other part?
Never mind, dear. It's just that he never talks very much.
Not even to you and your mother?
No, dear. We all have to be a little patient.
I'm patient, even though he doesn't ever talk to me. But I talk to him. Every night, I say goodnight to him on the evening star. Good night, my Winthrop. Sleep tight.
Oh, there, darling. Don't cry. You have lots of time. If not Winthrop, there'll be someone else.
Never. I'll end up an old maid like you. I'm sorry, Miss Marion. Can I play my crosshand piece?
May I play?
May I play my crosshand piece?
You may.
See, without a sweetheart, you have no one to say goodnight to on the evening star.
I know, Amaryllis. For the time being, just say goodnight, my someone. You can put the name in when the right someone comes along.
It's better than nothing.
Yes, it is. Now you can play your crosshand piece.
Now I may play my crosshand piece.
Keeping time with her hand, the blonde paces behind the girl.
Good night, my someone. Good night, my love. Sleep tight, my someone. Sleep tight, my love. Our star is shining its brightest light. For good night, my love, for good night.
She moves to the open window.
Sweet dreams be yours, dear, if dreams there be. Sweet dreams to carry you close to me. I wish they may, and I wish they might. Now good night, my someone, good night.
On the porch.
True love can be whispered from heart to heart. When lovers are parted, they say, but I must depend on a wish and a star as long as my heart doesn't know. To me, I wish.
reflects on her upturned face. Rain streaks a sign that reads, River City High School Madison Gymnasium. Inside. A woman in a red and white striped skirt with a draped bodice of blue with white stars stands on the stage. She raises the stiff sides of her white cape and bows.
I'm sure we're all grateful to my wife, Eulalie McKechnie-Shin, for leading the singing. Bravo, Eulalie! Bravo! And to J.C. Squires for his fine stereopticon slides. And to Ethel Toffelmeyer, our fine player, piano. As mayor of River City, I welcome you River Citizens to the Flag Day exercises set up for the indoors here in Madison Gymnasium, Carol the Weather. 40.
Ethel shuts the piano roll door. The mayor clenches his jaw.
40!
A small boy hands the mayor a note. The boy stands in the spotlight and smiles at the audience. The mayor waves the boy away. He continues to smile.
Ah! The newly elected members of the school board will now present a patriotic tableau.
Read the note.
The members of the school board will not present a patriotic tableau. Some disagreement about costumes, I suppose. Instead, the Watanyi girls of the local wigwam of Hiawatha will present a spectacle. My wife. In which my wife, Eulalie McKechnie-Shin, will take a leading part.
Ethel inserts a new role. The green curtains open to reveal a backdrop with a teepee and sandstone bluffs in the distance. Amaryllis and three other girls wear buckskin and have paint on their faces.
Got some matches right here.
A dark-haired young man takes a match and scurries from the balcony.
Watani!
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 I will now count to 20 in the Indian tongue.
The young man lights a 4-inch firecracker and tosses it onto the stage. It rolls under Eulalie. The buckskin skirt flies up. She falls into the backdrop, pulling it loose. The young man dashes off. The smaller boys laugh.
Sean, George! Sean, me! Help
me! Bring in the curtain! Are you on? Bring in the curtain!
Who set off that crack?
Tommy Gelis did it.
Yes, it was Tommy Gelis.
Tommy Gelis, I wouldn't leave if I was you.
Let me go.
The sheriff grabs Tommy's shirt.
I'm happy to say Mrs. Shin will recover. No thanks to a certain young ruffian who is a disgrace to our city. 40 and 7 years... Flag Day fireworks spectacle, last days of Pompeii, will take place, providing the rain stops by 9:30. It'll be out to Madison Picnic Park in the far meadow, across the creek from the pest house.
How come it's raining? Didn't the Gazette predict fair?
Sure did. That's why we prepared for a storm.
The Gazette is accurate most of the time, and you know it, JC.
You wouldn't last very long in the bank if this is being accurate most of the time.
Harold turns his coat inside out and now wears a red high-collar coat with gold braid.
Order! Will you fellas stop bickering in public?
All in the world that I'm saying is...
Never mind! 40.
We heard there's a pool table in town!
Marcellus moves to another spot behind the bleachers.
Now, just a minute here.
Well, is it a pool table or isn't it?
Will you allow me to get on with the exercises?
We don't want any more exercises till we get this pool table matter settled.
Yes, that's right.
Protect our children!
Yeah.
Resist sin and corruption.
Smite that devil and keep our young boys pure.
Marcellus tosses a cap to Harold.
Friends.
At the top of the bleachers.
May I have your attention, please? Attention, please. I can deal with this trouble, friends, with a wave of my hand, this very hand. Please observe me, if you will. I'm Professor Harold Hill, and I'm here to organize the River City Boys Band.
This cap has a plume.
Oh, think, my friends, how could any pool table ever hope to compete with a gold trombone? Remember, my friends, what a handful of trumpet players did to the famous fabled walls of Jericho. Oh, billiard parlor walls come a-tumbling down. Oh, a band will do it, my friends. Oh, yes, I mean a boy's band. Do you hear me? I say River City's got to have a boy's band, and I mean she needs it today. Well, Professor Harold Hill's on hand, and River City's going to have her boy's band, as sure as the Lord made little green apples. And that band's going to be in uniform. Johnny, Willie, Teddy, Fred. And you'll see the glitter of crashing cymbals. You'll hear the thunder of rolling drums, the shimmer of trumpets. Ta-ta-da! And you'll feel something akin to the electric thrill I once enjoyed. When Gilmore, Liberati, Pat Conway, the great creator, W.C. Handy, and John Philip Sousa all came to town on that very same historic day. 76 trombones led the big parade, with 110 cornets close at hand. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band. 76 trombones caught the morning sun, with 110 cornets right behind. There were more than 1,000 reeds springing up like weeds. There were horns of every shape and kind. There were copper bottom, timpani, and horse platoons, thundering, thundering all along the way. Double bell euphoniums and big bassoons, each bassoon having his big fat say. There were 50 mounted cannon in the battery, thundering, thundering louder than before. Clarinets of every size and trumpeters who'd improvise a full octave higher than the score. 76 trombones hit the counterpoint, while 110 cornets blazed away. To the rhythm of harch, 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 all the kids began to march, and they're marching still right today.
Two rows of children march with Harold up to the stage. Across and down the other side, they follow him. They march backward, with Harold in the middle, tapping a toe and hopping. Four rows face the audience. Harold moves to the front with the smaller children, and they skip side to side. After a high kick, they hop and turn. The younger children withdraw as seven young ladies in calf-length skirts stride forward. They spin and kick, their pastel skirts swirling. A high kick reveals their white stockings and petticoats. They leap and jump, arms on hips. Arms overhead, they spin. Skirts flaring, they spin away, their places taken by young men who slide in on their knees. In long pants, long-sleeved shirts and vests, they spin and twist. After a high kick, foot flexed, they move side to side, tapping their heels. With arms outstretched, they spin, first one way, then the other. Tommy dances in the center. The girls join them, leaping with legs bent. Harold skips through them to a lone girl in the bleachers. He sits next to her, their feet on the bench in front. She puts her chin in her hand. Harold does the same. She sticks out her tongue. Harold's tongue peeks from the corner of his mouth. They tap their feet side to side. Other children join them. They tap down and up, out and in. They click their heels. Harold rises and they follow. They step to the bench in front, step to one side. They hop down, then up again. In rows, facing in opposite directions, they march in place. Harold hops to the top, with some boys following. They all march off the bleachers with Harold and the boys leaping off. Harold leads them into the locker room, where they march on the bench in the middle. They step off with one foot on the bench and lean, playing instruments. Back up, they hop and jump off, straddling the bench. They march off and back into the lockers, banging the sides with their fists. They open the doors and take out white towels. Harold swings his overhead while the others use them for trombones. In a classroom, they sit with Harold at the teacher's desk. They drum with pencils. The adults look in through the glass doors. They stand and raise the desktops. Harold stands on the desk. The young people do the same. With an American flag hanging behind him, Harold conducts. Hopping down, they dance around their desks. The younger children joining Harold. Stepping onto the seat, they kick, turn, and do it again. Harold is joined by two boys on his desk. They shuffle and kick. The others kick. Reaching into the desks, they take out papers and fling them in the air as the mayor barges in. Harold marches the mayor back out and leads the children up the stairs and along the balcony. The adults crane their necks watching. With the younger children right behind, Harold marches them into a straight line, then turns and marches back. The adults look up and smile.
76 trombones hit the counter boys, 110 cornets pace away. To the rhythm of hush, 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 all the kids began to march, and the march is still right today.
Reforming the line, they follow Harold. The adults point and grin. Harold marches the children out of the building.
That man is a spellbinder.
Men, this calls for emergency action. I haven't seen Iowa people get so excited since the night Frank Gotch and Strangler Lewis lay on the mat for 3.5 hours without moving a muscle.
Never mind!
I want that man's credentials.
Outside the gym, children line up in front of Harold.
Very good. $5 earnest money. Thank you very, very much. Good. Just your hands. Piccolo player. How's that sound?
Grab that hook. Feel those blue $5 shit. Earnest money.
Tommy dashes down the stairs and collides with Harold.
Hurry, Sheriff. After him.
Harold helps Tommy to his feet.
Thanks, Professor. Have to make an example of Ringleader, you know. What he does, the gang does.
Let me go.
You wild kid, you. Hanging around my oldest girl? His father is one of them day laborers south of town. You wild kid, you. Tagging down Main Street after my oldest girl last Sunday.
I wasn't either tagging.
Don't you contradict me.
We's just walking together, Geely Clyde.
You watch your phraseology. I know what you was doing, my little Gracie Senior. Now, you stay away from my oldest girl, or you'll hear from me till who laid the rails. Hill! I'll talk to you Monday morning about this band thing. Over at City Hall, 10 o'clock sharp. I want that spellbinder's credentials.
Constable, I'll be responsible for the boy.
You don't know this kid, Professor. He's tough, and he's got his gang waiting outside.
Oh, I'll be careful. Tommy, I'd like to talk to you about the band.
Oh, gee, Professor. That's for the little kids.
Well, I'm not talking about you playing in the band. I'll bet you're mechanically minded, aren't you? Ever do anything with perpetual motion?
Oh, yeah. Nearly had it a couple times.
You did? Then you're my man. Do you realize that nobody has ever invented a music holder for a marching piccolo player? No place to hang the music.
Geely Clyde. Wonder where I could get some wire from.
Look in your cellar. That's where people usually keep wire. Oh, Tommy.
Yes, sir?
Now, Constable, I'll show you how to break up a gang. Oh, miss. Oh, young lady. What's your name?
Zelita. I didn't have any idea he was beckoning to me. Gods.
Did you know Tommy Gilas?
Well, I am.
Tommy, this is an escort the young lady home by way of the ice cream parlor.
Harold drops coins in Tommy's hand.
Yes, sir.
Do I have to?
You have to.
Yes, sir.
He goes.
Zanita takes Tommy's arm.
Professor, you're a pretty bright young fella. You made a couple of mistakes, though.
Oh?
The mayor happens to own the billiard parlor and that new pool table.
Oh. What was the other mistake?
That's Zanita. She's the mayor's oldest girl.
The blonde drifts past Harold. On the street, she looks back and sees Harold grinning, his open coat revealing the red band jacket lining.
Just a minute, Professor Hill. We're on the school board, and we'd like to have your credentials.
Academic certificate.
Nothing of the kind. We need letters and papers.
Make him put up a bond.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What am I hearing? Gentlemen, follow me.
They enter the ice cream parlor. Harold takes a spoon and taps on a pitcher.
Say, ice cream.
Ice cream. But I don't sing if that's what you're getting at.
All right, all right. Talk then. Down here.
Ice cream.
Talk slow.
Ice cream.
You see? Singing is only sustained talking. Now you.
Ice cream.
Now you. Right here.
Ice cream.
Now you, sir.
Harold points up.
Now on, I never see one of those men without the other three.
Oh, Professor, you're wrong. Everyone knows they've hated each other since kindergarten. Yeet guts.
Ice cream! Ice cream! Ice cream!
How can there be any
sin in sincere? Where is the good in good? By and goodbye. Your apprehensions confuse me.
Like I said, you'll never see one of those men without the other three.
Mystify, mystify, tell me why.
Harold wipes two fingers along his hat brim and leaves.
In farewell, dear, while one single star shines above, how can there be any sin in sincere? Aren't we sincerely?
Outside, the blonde shuffles books.
How to do?
She walks away.
I don't suppose you live alone or anything.
No.
I've got some wonderful caramels over to hotel.
Mr. Hill.
Professor Hill.
Professor of what? At what college do they give a degree for annoying women on the street like a Saturday night rowdy at a public dance hall?
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm a conservatory man myself. Gary, Indiana, gold medal class, about five.
Even should that happen to be true, does that give you the right to follow me around wherever I go? And another thing, Mr. Hill. I'm not as easily mesmerized or hoodwinked as some people in this town, and I think it only fair to warn you that I have a shelf full of reference books in my library which may very well give me some interesting information about you.
She thrusts an apple at him and walks away. At night, Marcella sweeps the entrance to the restaurant. Harold leaves the hotel and settles his straw hat on his head.
Hey, Greg!
Hi, Marcellus. Don't call me Greg.
So how'd you make out with the music teacher?
Get out of my hand the minute I tip my hat.
She did? Oh, boy. Did you cut a swath today? For a minute, even I thought you knew something about leading a band.
Just like when you used to imitate that band concert fella in Joplin.
Yeah.
Inside.
Kid stuff. I'm in rare form these days. Just keep your eyes on me for the next 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Only used to take 10 days for the instruments to arrive.
Still does, but it takes 3 weeks for the uniforms.
Oh, no, Greg. You haven't added uniforms.
Uniforms and instruction books.
Instruction books? But you can't pass yourself off as a music professor. I mean, not for any 3 weeks.
Mars.
But you don't know one note from another.
I have a revolutionary new method called the Think System, where you don't bother with notes.
But in 3 weeks... Why, that's the 4th of July sociable. The people will want to hear music. You'll have to lead a band.
When the uniforms arrive, they forget all that. At least long enough for me to collect and leave. Oh, this is a refined operation, Mars. And I've got it timed right down to the last wave of the brakeman's hand on the last train out of town. And now, Mr. Washburn, you'll excuse me.
Gonna line yourself up a little canoodling, huh?
Well...
Say, I could fix you up with Ethel's sister. Lovely girl. Teaches Sunday school.
Oh, no. No wide-eyed, eager, wholesome, innocent Sunday school teacher for me. That kind of girl spins webs no spider ever. Listen, boy, a girl who trades on all that purity merely wants to trade my independence for her security.
The only affirmative she will file refers to marching down the aisle. No golden, glorious, gleaming, pristine goddess. No, sir, or no Diana do I play fawn. I can tell you that right now. I snarl, I hiss. How can ignorance be compared to bliss? I spark, I fizz. For the lady who knows what time it is, I cheer, I rave. For the virtue I'm too late to save. The sadder but wiser girl for me.
They join the bartender at the piano.
No bright-eyed, blushing, breathless baby doll baby. No, sir, that kind of child ties knots no sailor ever knew. I prefer to take a chance on a more adult romance. No dewy young miss who keeps resisting all the time she keeps insisting. No wide-eyed, wholesome, innocent female. No, sir, why she's the fisherman, I'm the fish you see. Plop, I flinch, I shy. When the lass with the delicate ear goes by, I smile, I grin. When the gal with the touch of sin walks in,
the waitress carries mugs of beer.
I hope, I pray, for Hester to win just one more A. The sadder but wiser girl's the girl for me.
The sadder but wiser girl's the girl for me. The sadder but wiser girl.
Harold dances with the waitress. In a millinery shop, the ladies try on wide hats adorned with feathers and flowers.
Oh, don't you love it? It's the latest from Chicago.
Kansas City. Needs a feather.
Maybe two.
Oh, my goodness. It's Professor Hill.
Professor! Would you please give us your opinion on these hats? Now, latest fashion in Chicago. Are feathers de rigueur or passe? Passe!
Well, I don't consider myself an
Professor
expert.
Professor Hill, we're all agog. Simply agog.
On the QB.
Everyone's so excited about the band.
I'm Ethel Toffelmeyer, the pianola girl.
Oh, you're Ethel Toff... That hat. It's scrumptious.
I'm Mrs. Dunlop, and this is Mrs. Squires and Mrs. Hicks. And of course, you've met your Lady McKechnie Shin, our mayor's wife. Oh, you really, isn't this exciting?
Oh, I couldn't say. I could not say. Oh, no. I could not say at this time. My husband wished to investigate, I'm sure, so naturally I'm reticent. Yes, I'm reticent.
Of course, Mrs. Shin, I understand. But you see, part of my music plans include a committee on the dance and... Wait. No, wait, do that again, Mrs. Shin. Your foot, the way you raised it just now.
Well, I have a bunion there that bothers me.
Oh, what grace. Huh. What natural flow of rhythm.
Huh.
What expression of line and movement. Oh, you must accept the chairmanship of the ladies' auxiliary for the classic dance. Mustn't she, ladies?
Oh,
every move you make, Mrs. Shin, bespeaks Del Sart. Oh, the way you move your hands. Yes,
okay.
Yes, and turn your head
Oh, Mrs. Shin, I would give a year's pay to see you dance the Shapoopy at the 4th of July sociable.
The Shapoopy?
All the rage in New York and Paris. Oh, Mrs. Shin, you can't refuse. Not someone with your natural ability. Say yes.
Well, Eulalie McKechnie Shin. Well, that is, dancing. Well.
Then you'll accept the chairmanship?
Yes, indeed. And to my committee, I would like to say to all
of you. Thank you. And the young lady who works at the library, Miss Peru, I think it is. She plays the piano?
Oh, she plays. Yeah, she plays. Beep, beep.
And not just the piano. Oh, no. Isn't that right, ladies? Talk a little, talk a little.
Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheep, cheep, cheep. Talk a lot, pick a little more. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheep, cheep.
They circle a table and select new hats.
Pick a little, talk a little, cheep, cheep, cheep. Talk a lot, pick a little more. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little. Cheep, 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 cheep. Pick a little.
Professor, her kind of woman doesn't belong on any committee. Of course, I shouldn't tell you this, but she advocates dirty books.
Dirty books?
Chaucer.
Rabelais.
Balzac. And the worst thing is, well, of course, I shouldn't tell you this.
I'll tell. Men lived on my street, let me tell.
Stop. Talk a lot, pick a little more.
I'll tell. She made brazen overtures to a man who never had a friend in this town till she came here. Old Miser Madison.
Miser Madison? Madison Gymnasium? Madison Picnic Park? Madison Hospital? That Miser Madison?
Exactly. Who did he think he was, anyway?
I should say, show off. Gave the town the library, too, didn't he?
Well, that's just it. When he died, he left the library building to the city.
But he left all the books to her. She was seen going and coming from his place.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
That woman made brazen overtures with a gilt-edged guarantee. She had a golden glint in her eye and a silver voice with a counterfeit ring. Just melt her down and you'll reveal a lump of lead as cold as steel here, where a woman's heart should be.
She places his hand on her chest.
Chaucer, Rabelais,
Balzac.
Just a minute here. We need to see your credentials.
Yes, of course. I have just what you want over at the hotel. Come with me. Good night, ladies.
They turn and wave.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies.
Harold leaves. Hats in hands, the foursome sing to the ladies as they leave carrying hat boxes. Eulalie leads the ladies off. The foursome don their hats and head off in the opposite direction. Harold strides up a walk and rings the bell. In the garden, the mayor watches.
Just a minute here. Are you soliciting? You haven't got a license.
Why, no, Mayor Shin. I collect doorbells, and this particular sample has an unusual tone quality that...
Flattery will not avail you, sir. Soliciting is statutory in this county. Malfeasance without a permit. Why haven't you been down to City Hall with your references?
Must have just missed you, I... Oh, Mr. Mayor, your hand.
What? What?
Oh, no, that spread of the little finger. It's hereditary.
Oh, it isn't. What does that mean?
That means that your son's little finger is perfectly situated to operate the spit valve on a B-flat flugelhorn.
Is that good?
Good. It means that America has at last produced an artist who can flugel the minute waltz in 50 seconds.
How do I get one of those horns?
Sign right here, Mr. Mayor. That'll be $17 import fee.
Yes, sir. Just think, I could have missed this whole...
He starts to sign.
I haven't got any son. You're unscrupulous! Flew by night! You unscrupulous! You'll be down at City Hall with your bygone papers at 3:00.
You mean this afternoon?
I couldn't make myself any plainer if I was a Quaker on his day off!
In the library. The blonde removes a book. Harold smiles at her from the other side.
It's all right. I know everything, and it doesn't make any difference.
What are you talking about?
You were probably very young. Anyone can make a mistake.
What?
No apologies, no explanations, please. I'm only in town a short time, and the sadder but wiser girl for me.
He grins at her. She replaces the book.
Will you please make your selection and leave?
I have.
Well, what do you want to take out?
The librarian.
The students look up and stare.
Quiet, please.
The librarian.
You're not listening, Marion. Look.
He holds up a leather pouch.
Marion. Marbles. 6 steelies, 8 aggies, a dozen peewees, and one big glassy with an American flag in the middle. I think I'll drop them.
No!
Shh. Madam librarian. What can I do, my dear, to catch your ear? I love you madly, madly, Madam librarian. Marion, heaven help us if the library caught on fire and the volunteer hose brigademen had to whisper the news to Marion.
He circles a bookcase and appears in front of her.
Madam librarian, what can I say, my dear, to make it clear, I need you badly, badly, Madam Librarian. Marion, if I stumbled and I busted my whatchamacallit, I could lie on your floor unnoticed till my body had turned to carrion. Madam Librarian.
She starts up the stairs.
Now in the moonlight, a man could sing it. In the moonlight.
She sways at the banister with Harold behind her.
And a fellow would know that his darling had heard every word of his song with the moonlight helping along. But when I try in here to tell you, dear, I love you madly, madly, Madam Librarian. Marion, it's a long lost cause I can never win. For the civilized world accepts as unforgivable sin any talking out loud with any librarian, such as Marion. Madam Librarian.
She looks around. Harold pops up behind her octagonal desk. She drops her book and raises the flap, pointing. Harold moves from behind the desk. He takes a pencil from the table and drops it. Zenita and Tommy reach for it. Harold switches books in the hands of a girl and boy. He slides a ladder with a girl toward one with a boy. He takes a book from a couple and places it on another table. The students lean toward it, then smile at one another. The students play peekaboo with their books. Marion scowls. Harold circles her desk. Propped on the backs of the chairs, the students kick and flutter their legs. She stamps his open book. She leaves the desk. One boy lifts the girl from the ladder. Another has a girl over his shoulder. In pairs, the couples share a book. Marion pushes a cart with Harold close behind. Marion leaves. In a line, the students step, skip, and twirl, weaving around the tables. Harold plops his hat on a bust and hands out books to the passing couples. With Tommy and Zenita following, Harold sways side to side and spins. Tommy spins Zenita toward him. Harold hops up on the desk, then dances alone around it. Standing on top, he continues. Stepping carefully around the objects on the desk, he circles it. Thank you. Marion returns with the cart. Students scramble to their seats and read. Harold waves the marble bag as Marion starts up the stairs. Marion turns to stare at Zanita, then continues up the staircase. She considers the book in her hand. She holds it against her chest. She holds the book up. The lights dim. A man in shadow spins across the empty floor and leaps to the desk. Marion, in a blue sequin-trimmed gown, twirls. The man flips off the desk and springs to the ladder. He climbs to her. She gapes at Harold, who wears a blue brocade coat. He vaults over the banister and yanks the book from her hand. They scamper down the stairs to the landing. Down again, where Harold lifts her from the last step and spins her. Hand in hand, in a spotlight, they waltz. Blue spotlights dot the wooden floor. With his hand on her waist, they circle the desk. He spins her first one way, then the other. She twirls back to him and stops, mouth open. The lights brighten. The students gape at them. She jerks away and retreats to her desk.
But when I try in here to tell you, dear, I love you madly, madly, Madam Librarian, Marion, it's a long-lost cause I can never win.
For the he rings the desk bell. She moves it to the opposite side of the desk. And he rings it again. She moves it again. She rings it accidentally. He sinks below the desk. She leans over. He pops up next to her. She points to the door. He swivels over the desk and retrieves his hat from Shakespeare. He swings the marbles and releases them. Marion grabs for them and lies, partially hanging over the desk. Harold races out the door.
Mrs. Prue, do you realize you have the facial characteristics of a cornet virtuoso?
I don't know if I understand you entirely, Professor.
Your boy has that same firm chin, those splendid cheek muscles. By George. Oh, not that he could ever be really great, you understand.
Oh, is that so? And in the name of St. Bridget, why not?
Well, you see, all the really great cornet players were Irish. O'Clark, O'Mendez, O'Kline.
But, Professor, we are Irish.
No.
Yes.
No. Well, that clinches it. That clinches it. Sign here, Mrs. Prue. Your boy was born to play the cornet. Fine, fine. That'll be $7 earnest money, with nothing more due till the first installment, payable at the opening of band practice. Thank you. Oh, and of course I'll need the boy's measurements for his band uniform.
His uniform?
Winthrop dangles from his treehouse.
I got you. Hello, son. Certainly, certainly, his uniform. And there won't be a penny due until delivery, just in time for the 4th of July. Which gives him 3 weeks to enjoy, to anticipate, to imagine. At no cost whatever. Never allow the demands of tomorrow to interfere with the pleasures and excitements of today.
Would it have
a stripe. A stripe, certainly, my boy. A wide red stripe on each side. What do you think of that?
Winthrop looks wide-eyed at his mother and runs off.
You'll have to excuse Winthrop, Professor. We can't get him to say three words a day, even to us. And if you can get him to play in the band, you'll have St. Michael's own way with you.
In the house.
But if anybody can do it, I'll bet you can. Out of a crowd, I'll pick you for a hod-carrying, clay-pipe-smoking, shamrock-wearing, harp-playing, mavernine-pinching, Tara's Hall minstrel-singing Irishman. Be gobbin', be jabbers. Where are you from, me boy?
Gary, Indiana.
I knew it! Gary! Where'd you say?
Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, let me say it once again.
He offers his arm.
Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, that's the town that knew me when. If you'd like to have a logical explanation how I happened on this elegant syncopation, I will say without a moment of hesitation, there is just one place that can like my face.
Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana, not Louisiana, Paris, France, New York, or Rome.
He spins her on the piano stool.
But Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana, my home sweet home.
Holding hands, they dance around a small square table and sit on the love seat.
In fact, Gary Conservatory was my alma mater.
Was she now?
Why, yes, gold medal class of '05.
Oh, how to do, Miss Peru?
How to do, Mr. Hill?
Oh, of course, Peru. I thought the name sounded familiar.
He wants to put Winthrop in the band.
We're not interested, Mama.
But Miriam, the boy might have his father's musical gift. He does have me jaw, you know.
Oh, your husband musical. Well, I'd like to have a talk with him. I'm sure that we could.
Do you
have...
burst in on everyone's home like this, prying into personal affairs? We're not interested.
Miriam.
Well, that's one for and one against. Now, why not let the boy's father decide?
The boy's father is dead. Anything else?
Oh, I'm sorry. But that's all the more reason that your brother should have something like this.
My brother is an 8-year-old problem child who can't understand why our father was taken away. Would you care to explain it to him? He's been brooding about it for 2 years. As to your musical tricks, why don't you go into business with some nice carnival man who sells gold-painted watches and glass diamond rings?
Musical tricks? Miss Peru, I hardly...
She gathers her things and flounces off.
I get the feeling she likes the idea. Oh, a little cautious, perhaps, but I admire that in a woman. Keep me alive, and I'll be back later in the week.
Oh!
Mrs. Peru writes. Outside, Harold consults his notebook.
One moment, Professor Hill. I got the boy's measurements. I make all his clothes. Sleeve 21, waist 18, crotch 14.
Fine, that's all I need. Now I must get back to the hotel.
Professor, I do hope you'll excuse Marion. She's not
Please,
really...
Please, don't worry about a thing. I'm sure that at heart she's as lovely as yourself. Good day to you, Widow Peru.
Marion writes at the kitchen table.
Has he gone?
He has. And I hope not forever. Darling, don't you ever think about your future? Gary, Indiana, conservation class of '05. Now, darling.
Now, Mama, surely a girl's future doesn't depend on encouraging every fast-talking, self-centered, woman-chasing, traveling man who comes to town. And the fact that he claims his commodity is music does not, in this particular case, impress me.
All right, darling. All right. Only it's a well-known principle that if you keep the flint in one drawer and the steel in another, you'll never strike much of a fire.
Mama! Winthrop, I know you're out there.
He sticks his head out from the treehouse.
Winthrop. Please go to the post office and ask Miss Grubb if a package has arrived for me. It's a book. The Indiana State Educational Journal, 1901 to 1910.
Do I have to?
You won't have to talk to anyone. I've written it all down. Thanks, Win.
What are you up to? What do you mean with another book?
I have a feeling this book may poke some large holes in the professor's claims.
Well, I give up. At your age, if you don't mind my asking, what kind of white knight do you expect to come riding along?
Well, I'm not waiting for Luther Griner, who backs me into the ancient history shelf every time he comes into the library.
Oh, he does!
All I want is a plain man, a modest man, a quiet man. A straightforward and honest man. And not Ed Gamage and that buggy of his with a removable backseat. But I'm not waiting for a man in shining white armor either.
She carries a pitcher of lemonade to the lace-covered dining table.
My white knight, not a Lancelot, nor an angel with wings, just someone to love me,
who is not ashamed of a few nice things. My white knight, what my heart would say if it only knew how pleased, dear Venus, show me now. All I want is a plain man, all I want is a modest man, a quiet man, a gentleman, a straightforward and honest man to sit with me in a cottage somewhere in the state of Iowa, and I would like him to be more interested in me than he is in himself.
In her room.
And more interested in us than in me. And if occasionally he'd ponder what makes Shakespeare and Beethoven great, him I could love till I die, him I could love till I die. My white knight, not a Lancelot, nor an angel with wings, just someone to love me who is not ashamed of a few nice things. My white knight, let me walk with him while the others ride by. Walk and love him till I die.
In the library.
Hey, Zanita.
Tommy, Mom and Pop are on their way to the bank. They could come in here any minute. Eat guff.
All right, then meet me after supper.
I can't. It's Epworth League night. Meet you where?
The footbridge.
You see, isn't that just what I said? Last time the lumberyard, and now the footbridge. And where will you meet me after that? In the black hole of Calcutta? Eat guff.
I only want to show you my invention.
What invention?
My music holder for a marching piccolo player. It still has a couple of minor flaws. See, when you keep it tight enough to hold the music steady, you cut off the circulation and you can't wiggle your fingers. Meanwhile, you could go blind.
Shh, it's Miss Prue.
Miss Prue?
Oh, I'll be right with you.
She sets down a book titled The Indiana State Educational Journal, 1890 to 1910.
Very good book.
At the telegraph office.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street. Oh, please let it be for me.
He picks up the candlestick phone.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street. I wish I knew what it could be.
I got a box of maple sugar on my birthday.
In March, I got a gray Mackinac.
And once I got some grapefruit from Tampa.
Montgomery Ward sent me a bathtub and a cross-cut saw.
Marion puts the open book down and smiles.
Oh, ho, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming now. Is it a prepaid surprise or COD?
It could be curtains
or dishes
or a double boiler.
Or it could be.
Yes, it could be. Yes, you're right. It surely could be.
Something special.
Something very, very special now. Just for me.
Townspeople gather in the street.
Mayor Shin. I found some very interesting information in this book about Professor Hill's alma mater.
His who?
His university.
I know all about that. In fact, that's the only thing I can never get out of him. Gary Conservatory, class of '05.
Yes, well, if you'll just take time to read a little bit about the conservatory, I don't think you'll have to look much further. It's on page...
The Wells Fargo way. He's just coming up from the depot.
Oh, no, dearie.
It could be the band instrument.
The band instruments? Ah, excuse us.
Marion closes the book, then follows.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street. Oh, don't let him pass my door.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street.
I wish I knew what he was coming for.
I got some salmon from Seattle last September.
And I expect a new rocking chair.
I hope I get my raisins from Fresno.
The VAR have sent a cannon for the courthouse square.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming now. I don't know how I can ever wait to see. It could be something for someone who is no relation, but it could be.
Yes, it could be. Yes, you're right. It surely could be.
Something special.
Something very, very special now.
A horse-drawn, canvas-covered wagon rounds the corner.
Oh, you Wells Fargo wagon, keep on coming. Oh, you Wells Fargo wagon, keep on coming. Oh, you Wells Fargo wagon, don't you dare to make a stop until you stop for me.
Harold jumps down from the back.
It's a man instrument!
Winthrop rushes to the wagon. Harold pulls a shiny gold horn from a canvas bag.
Here you are, Winthrop.
My cornet! Gee, thanks, Professor! Sister, sister, isn't this the most scrumptious solid gold thing you ever saw? I never thought I'd ever see anything so scrumptious as a scrumptious solid gold thing. Oh, sister, sister!
He hugs Marion, who smiles and closes her eyes.
Men, you'll all be given individual instruction in due course. Until then, stay off the streets. Get acquainted with your instruments. And think about the minuet in G.
Marion watches Harold, head tilted, a smile on her lips.
I better hear some by-God tooting out of them horns in pretty short order. Or I'll see you in front of the grand jury over the county seat. And now, Miss Peru, about that book.
Come, George. Tempest Fugits.
You watch your phraseology.
George, I
now
only...
You get along if you want to. I need to get something from the librarian.
George,
Marion rips
closing.
A page from the book.
Miss Peru, the book.
Yes, of course.
She hands him the book, then turns to stare at Harold, who passes out the instruments. She takes a step toward him. Marcellus hops out of the wagon as Harold approaches Marion.
The ladies' dance committee meets Tuesdays at the high school. They're rehearsing for the 4th of July sociable. I know they'd like you to be there.
They would?
Very much. You'll come, won't you?
She nods, grinning. In the locker room.
La-di-da, la-di-da, la-di-da. That's it, men.
La-di-da, 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 la-di-da.
Don't stop.
Harold waves the drummer's arm. He conducts as Harold strolls into the gym and pours a cup of lemonade. Mrs. Shin leads the rehearsal.
Lovely ladies, lovely, and turn. Take the body with us. Now, let's have a go at our Grecian urns.
Marion is at the piano.
Position. One Grecian urn. And a fountain. Position. Trickle, 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 trickle. Smile, girl, smile. Lovely ladies, lovely. I predict that our Delsarte display will be the highlight of the 4th of July ice cream sociable.
It's you
in the sunrise.
And remember, ladies, and don't make me tell you again, always keep your faces to the audience. And thank you, Miss Peru, for your excellent accompaniment. Thank you.
Marion stands and nods.
Shouldn't you be dancing with them?
Oh, I'm really much happier at the piano.
But you do dance, don't you?
I really have to get home.
Marcellus paints columns. Harold takes Marion's hand.
On my pillow,
he backpedals into the center of the gym. He spins her into his arms. He dips her slightly one way, then the other. He spins her away, then returns, twirling to her side. Sitting on the bleachers, Tommy and Zanita share a look and smile. Marion stares into Harold's eyes. Arms intertwined, they circle. They end with her hands on his chest, their faces inches apart. They pick up their pace and the young people join them dancing. Mrs. Shin's group sways to the music.
To town, it's your sweet hello, dear. That sets me up. And it's your got to go, dear. That gets me down.
Take your hands off my daughter, wild kid.
Mr. Shin, Your Honor, your daughter and I are going steady behind your back.
Why, you?
Well, we'd rather do it in front of your back, but...
Do what? Well, never mind.
I'm going to warn you once more. If I ever catch you touching my daughter, I'll by God horsewhip you till hell won't have it again.
But George!
Not one poop out of you, madam.
He means Pete.
Yes. And now get off of school property.
I got as much right to be here as anybody.
How do you get any right around here, aiding and abetting the swindling activities of this spellbinding symbol salesman?
Now, Mr. Mayor, if you please.
I'll settle your hash as soon as I get these premises off of my oldest girl.
All right. But in the meantime, I want you to know that I'm vouching for Tommy Gilas. This boy's got the confidence of every kid in town. You'll be standing in line waiting to shake his hand by the time our band plays its first concert.
By the time your band plays its first concert, the individual members will have to foregather in wheelchairs on account of the broken legs they'll get from tripping over their beards. You know what I see written all over you? Reform school!
Papa, please! It's Capulets like you make blood in the marketplace, ye gods!
You watch your phraseology, young woman. You go home and stay in your room. I'll tell you something, my feathered young... Never mind! And you, get out of here, you wild kid, you!
All right, Tommy. Let me buy you a sarsaparilla.
I hate you!
You really?
Now, George, I only...
You tend to your dance!
But...
Oh. I'll handle this my way.
Mr. Mayor, you are not being fair.
Now, you stay out of this, Miss Peru. And by the way, thanks for nothing. I've read that book you gave me from cover to cover for a whole week now and didn't find a thing. Oliver! JC! Oliver! I want that man's references, and I want him tonight. Don't let him out of your sight. He's slipperier than a Mississippi sturgeon.
Do you mean you want us to get his credentials?
Get his papers, or get him in jail. I couldn't make myself any clearer if I was a button hook in the well water.
In the ice cream parlor.
Come on. Let's go.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Hello, Miss Marion. Thanks for the sarsaparilla, Professor, and the talk. Miss Marion?
Professor Hill, I think Mayor Shin has behaved abominably, and I just wanted to say it was wonderful of you coming to Tommy's defense back there.
Oh, that was nothing.
Oh, yes, it was.
Oh, no. A man can't dodge the issue every time a little personal risk is involved. What does the poet say? A coward dies 1,000 deaths. The brave man only 500. Unfortunately, of course, the mayor was already pretty mad at me on account of his billiard parlor. Now, I suppose a recommendation from a musical authority such as yourself would help, but... Oh, I couldn't think of asking you to do a thing like that.
Why not?
You mean you would?
I'd be glad to. I just wish I was a little more informed. I've been wanting to talk to you about Winthrop's cornet.
His cornet? Mother of Pearl Keys.
Oh, I'm sure it's fine. It's just that he never touches it. Oh, the first week or so, he made a few experimental, blats, I guess you'd say.
Yes, yes, blats.
And he sings the minuet in G almost constantly.
La di da di da di da di da. La di da.
But he never touches the cornet.
Yes, well.
He says you told him it wasn't necessary.
Well.
He tells me about some think system. If he thinks the minuet in G, he won't have to bother with the notes. Now, Professor.
Miss Marion, the think system is a revolutionary method, I'll admit. But so was Galileo's conception of the heavens, Columbus's conception of the egg, globe. Bach's conception of the well-tempered clavichord, hmm? Oh, now, I cannot discuss these things here in public, but if you'll allow me to call, when may I call?
By any night this week.
Oh, Miss Burrow, please join our Del Star committee.
You were so dear today, dancing with Professor Hill.
You danced like a fairy princess, with a moonbeam for your floor. You had a golden shimmer in your hair, and silver shoes for all to see. We know that you will soon unfold a forgiving heart of purest gold, here, where a woman's heart should be.
They draw Marion to their table and bring ice cream from the counter.
Golden shimmer.
Mrs. Shin devours a cherry. At the hotel.
Sorry, Professor, but we got our orders.
We all been deputized.
Oh, well, congratulations. Let's see now. You know, all week long I've been trying to give you fellows my references and credentials, but you always seem to get off the subject somehow. Now, I have just what you need up in my room. Take me a
second.
Sorry,
I'm afraid we'll have to go along with you.
Yes, yes. Well, let's see if I have my key. What is this?
He holds a River City hotel bill.
Oh, it's a testimonial from Madame Rini, the only female bassoon player ever to appear on the Red Path circuit. Her stage name, of course. Actually, she was from Moline. Lyda Rose Quackenbush.
Could I see that for a minute?
Oh, you'll never forget the name Lyda Rose. Just like the song. Lyda Rose, I'm home again, Rose.
To get the sun back in the sky. Lyda Rose, I'm home again, Rose. About a thousand kisses shy.
Harold extracts himself ding, from them and dong, drifts away.
Ding. I can hear the chapel bell chime.
They serenade a couple checking into the hotel.
Ding dong ding. At the least suggestion, I'll pop the question. Lyda Rose, I'm home again, Rose, without a sweetheart to my name.
They move into a circle at the front door.
Lyda Rose, now everyone knows that I am hoping you're the same. So here is my love song.
Outside,
not fancy,
people pause
or
and
fine.
Listen.
Lyda Rose, oh, won't you be mine? Lyda Rose, oh, Lyda Rose, oh, Lyda Rose.
At the library.
Dream of now. Dream of then. Dream of I'll bravely tell you, but only when we
turns off the lights. Outside.
Sweet and low. Sweet and low. How sweet that memory. How long ago. Forever.
Separately, they sing and stroll down the street. Their images overlap.
Dream of them. Dream of
I'm home again, Rose. About a thousand kisses shy.
Do I love you? Oh, yes, I love you.
I can hear the chapel bell chime.
And I'll bravely tell you.
They meet. The foursome doffs their straw hats as Marion passes. She nods. Single file, with arms extended to the shoulder of the next man, the foursome moves off. Hats on their chests, they pause. The hats arc up, the other hand falls, palm out. At the Peruse.
Seems like we just took down the flags for Flag Day, and now we're starting to put them up again for the 4th of July. I'm starting to see red, white, and blue spots before me eyes.
You say that every year, Mama, but you always volunteer to sew.
Well, it's funny how things get to be a habit with people. You think a person might change, but they don't. Person might let herself go, might speak her heart, but she don't. Might tell a fella how she's longing, but she don't.
Mama.
Will you ever tell him? Won't you ever tell him? Oh, fiddlesticks. Just open your mouth, my girl, and let it come out.
Now, Mama.
Now, nothing. If he ever comes to call again, you see him alone. And if you haven't the gumption to tell him how you feel.
Tell him?
Well, there's nothing wrong with a lady like him. Where have you been?
Fishing.
Fishing?
With Harold.
You mean Professor Hill?
Mm-hmm. And look, I still have some worms left.
Ooh. Oh, what's that?
A lucky rabbit foot. He gave it to me.
Did you have a good time?
Scrumptious. Look, Mom. Oh.
Scrumptious.
What'd you talk about?
Stuff.
What stuff?
He told me all about his hometown, Gary, Indiana. He said he'd take me there someday. And he taught me a song with Charlie F.A. Edison.
Gary, Indiana, let me say you once again. Gary, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, that's the sound that knew me when. If you'd like to have a logical explanation, how I happened on this Elkin syncopation.
He wiggles his frayed straw hat.
I was there without a moment of hesitation. There is just one place that can light my face.
Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
Not Louisiana, Paris, France, New York, or Rome. But Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana. My home sweet home.
They dance up the steps and plop on the wicker love seat.
I'll be back in a minute. Auntie Zoe Emerald's my new alive frog.
Oh! You're not going to the 4th of July sociable in those clothes. You make sure you're back in time to have a bath.
Okay. La-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. La-di-da. La-di-da.
Oh, leave the dishes, Mama. I'll do them.
Aren't you going to change for the sociable?
There's plenty of time. Come on, Shadow. Come on.
The dog follows Marion into the house. Charles, the anvil salesman, gets off the train.
River City, station stop. River City.
Say there, old-timer. You know where I can find Elm Street?
Yeah.
Oh, criminy.
At the Peruse. The door he knocks on has a sign. Piano lessons.
Yes?
Is this the Shin residence?
Oh, the Shin home is on East Elm. This is West Elm.
Aw, crime idiot. See, you're the piano teacher here in town.
Yes.
My name's Cowell. Charlie Cowell, handbill salesman. I guess you know all about this Hill fella forming a boys band here in town.
Yes.
Well, you don't need to worry about him no more. I got the goods on him in spades. Swindling two-bit thimble rigger. That's why I gotta go see Shin.
But...
Marion grabs a shawl and hurries after him.
Mr. Cowell, wait, please.
Sorry, miss. The number 8 only makes 15-minute water stop. Ooh, I wish it was 20, though. Sure would like to concentrate 5 minutes more on you, girly girl. But just now, I'm out to protect the good name of the traveling fraternity from that swindler.
Please, Mr. Cowell, you are making a big mistake.
Mistake? Mistake my old lady's corset cover. That fellow's been the raspberry seed in my wisdom tooth just long enough. He spoiled Illinois for me. He's not going to spoil Iowa. What kind of music teacher are you? You don't see through him. He's no more professor than...
Oh, I know all about that. Band leaders are always called professor. It's a harmless deception. He's a fine director and his scholastic...
Well, just a minute. Fine director? Have you heard even one note of music from any band?
No, but...
By nothing, girly girl. He's never formed a band in his life. And he never will.
If you'll just listen to me for a minute.
Oh, I'd like to. I'd like to do a lot more than that if I had the time, because I sure got the inclination. But I gotta get back on that train and deliver this dynamite to somebody on the way to the depot. Bye, girly girl. I'll see you next time through.
You'll never make that train at the depot. You'll have to catch it at the crossing.
No, sir. I gotta leave word, and I can see you ain't the one to leave it with.
Just a minute, Mr. Cowell. You don't know me yet.
He looks her up and down.
Is that an invitation?
I never met a man who sells anvils. That's something, well, quite different.
She smooths his lapels.
Takes a real salesman, I can tell you that much. Anvils have a limited appeal, you know. What am I doing? If I miss that train, I'm fired. I gotta leave word about that fella Hill.
Leave word with me.
Not on your tintype. How do I know you'll even deliver these letters?
Try me.
She grasps his lapels and kisses him.
Here's your train. You better run for it.
She wipes her lips.
Double dealing, little. Who do you think you're protecting? That guy's got a different girl in every county in Illinois, and he's taken away from every one of them. And that's 102 counties. And that's not counting the little piano teachers like you that he cozies up to just to keep their mouth shut. Neither one of you's heard the last of me, girly girl.
She knits her brow. Soft ringlets frame her face. She hurries across the street. Harold sits on the porch with her mother.
Oh, my goodness. I just remembered I've got some jelly on the stove.
There's no jelly on the stove, Mama.
Well, I'll just put some on. You just come up here and sit.
Harold smiles. Marion drops her gaze.
Shall we sit? As your mother said?
What are you doing here?
You asked me to call.
Did I? I didn't mean anything.
No, I wasn't suggesting that your invitation inferred anything but academic enlightenment. The think system. I've been by your house to try to explain it to you a time or two this week, but there always seem to be people around. Mostly ladies, I thought.
Yes, Mrs. Squires and several of the ladies.
I'm glad. Wouldn't want anybody beating my time.
She looks away.
Well, it's evidently not the convenient time.
He taps the brim of his hat with a finger and walks off.
Professor Hill, is it true that you've had 100... What I'm trying to say is...
Yes?
Is it really true that you've developed a... A think system?
Absolutely. It's really very simple as whistling. No one has to show you how to use your lips in whistling. You only have to think a tune to have it come out clearly here.
He points to her lips.
Now just try this yourself before you ask any questions.
He purses his lips and leans toward her. She leans toward him.
I take your word.
She turns away. Her mother watches.
Would you like to sit down?
Are all music teachers as dense as I am?
All music teachers?
I dare say you meet dozens, even 100.
Well, I...
Have they all been fascinated as I have with the think system?
Some more, some less. One young lady thought up the same system before I got to her town. She showed me a few refinements.
I see.
If I said something wrong?
Please don't let me keep you, Professor Hill. You must have many more important things to do than explain the think system to me.
Can't think of one.
And I must be very dull company for a man of your experience.
Now say, where'd you get an idea like that?
One hears rumors of traveling salesmen.
What have you heard?
Oh, nothing. Nothing about you personally, just generally.
What have you heard generally?
Just that... But of course it stands to reason that disappointment and jealousy can lead to... I mean, take you for instance. Your attention to customers and well, teachers might easily be misinterpreted, mightn't they? I mean, now honestly, mightn't they?
What?
And so you say if another salesman or someone were jealous, I mean... Well, they could be downright lies, couldn't they?
What could?
Rumors and things.
Why, of course.
It just proves that you can't believe everything you hear, doesn't it? I mean, if you just discuss things...
Miss Marion, I would be delighted to discuss anything in the world with you. But couldn't we do it sitting down? You do sit. Your knees bend and all.
We could sit on the porch steps.
We could also sit on a large hollow log over to the footbridge.
Well, I couldn't think of it. I've never been to the footbridge with a man in my life.
Just to talk.
I just can't, please. Some other time. Maybe tomorrow.
My dear little librarian, pile up enough tomorrows, and you'll find you've collected nothing but a lot of empty yesterdays. I don't know about you, but I'd like to make today worth remembering.
So would I.
The footbridge. 1 hour.
Mama,
what?
I just told Professor Hill I'd meet up at the footbridge in an hour.
Glory be in the saints, be praised, it works.
What does?
I've been using the tank system on your friend, the partner.
Harold touches his hat to a couple strolling along the river. Gas lights illuminate a couple sitting on a bench. The arcing footbridge is strung with lights. Harold stops in the center and rests a forearm on the rail. He checks his pocket watch. The warm light reflects on his face. Removing his hat, he stares into the water. The reflection of the lights dance on the surface. The image of boys in red uniforms with gold instruments forms. The last boy is Winthrop, his shako hat dwarfing his small head. Harold, also in red, raises the baton. Winthrop brings the coronet to his lips. Harold lowers the baton. The light dims. Winthrop lowers his horn and his head. The image fades.
I've been looking everywhere. Come on.
Anita, I'll be along shortly.
No, we've got to hurry. Everybody's waiting, and there's going to be fireworks. Gods, you don't want to miss them.
Zanita pulls him by the hand.
All right, I'm going to try.
Marcellus is surrounded by young people. Tommy arrives with Mary.
Come on, what's the do? You got her.
Marion and Harold smile at one another.
Now a woman who kissed on the very first date is usually a hussy. And a woman who kissed on the second time out is anything but fussy. But a woman who waits till the third time around, head in the clouds, feet on the ground. She's a girl he's glad he's found. She's his shaboopy, 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 shaboopy. The girl who's hard to get. Shaboopy, shaboopy, shaboopy. But you can win her yet. Walk her once just to raise the curtain. Then you walk around twice and you make for certain. Once more in the flower garden, she will never get sore if you beg her pardon. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do, si, la, so, fa, mi, re, do. Squeeze her once when she isn't looking. If you get a squeeze back, that's fancy cooking. Once more for her upper, she will never get sore on her way to supper.
Betsy. Look at her now, she's a go gal who only goes for me. Squeeze her one. Oh, she isn't looking if you get a squeeze back. That's fancy cooking. Once more for Pepper Upper, she will never get sore on her way to supper. Do re mi fa sol la si do si do. Shippoopy, shippoopy, shippoopy. The girl who's hard to get. Shippoopy, shippoopy, shippoopy. But you can win her yet.
Young people join Marcellus at his dance. Hands on hips, he taps a heel. They follow. He kicks up his heels, then rests an elbow on his hand and one ankle to a knee. They pump their arms up and down and step side to side. They skip back and step in circles. They kick one leg out straight and lean the opposite way. Marcellus brings Harold up, who takes Marion by the hand. He spins her and they step, kicking up their heels every few steps. Marion twirls, Harold revolves. Tommy, Zanita, and their friends take the stage. They repeat the steps Marcellus used. Kicking high, the boys lift the girls and turn around holding them high. Their white stockings and petticoats flash. A line of boys dances through the girls, then they trade places. Harold and Winthrop take the stage, arms akimbo, feet flexed. Marion and her mother look on. Arms wide, Winthrop flies around Harold. Winthrop mirrors Harold. Harold reaches between Winthrop's legs, grasps his hands, and flips him over. The mayor frowns, and he and Mrs. Shin are brought to the stage. She places her right hand in his and wraps his left arm around her waist. They pace right, heads held high. She spins out and back. With both their hands on her hips, they pace left. He looks off. She redirects his head and they Charleston. She spins out and back and lies draped over his arm. Moving to the street, everyone takes a partner. They step forward, turn and twirl their partners. With two steps and a twirl, they continue down the street on either side of the flag-decorated median. In two circles, men in one, women in the other, they face the middle and move in opposite directions. They promenade, clasping hands. They crisscross arms and form rows.
The footbridge.
5 minutes.
Marion joins Harold at the footbridge.
Miss Marion, you're late.
I came right here.
No, I meant that you were about, well, I'd say about 26 years late. Took you all this time to get to the footbridge with the fella.
If you want to know the truth, it almost took longer.
Oh?
Halfway here, I nearly turned back. I suppose I'm not the first to find it easier to think clearly when not under the spell of your salesmanship.
Now, Miss Marion, surely you don't think I've been selling you anything?
No. No, you've given me something. That's why I decided to come.
Well, I don't recall giving you anything.
Yes, you have. Something beautiful. That's why I came. I'm glad. Please don't be afraid that I'll expect too much more. One can't expect a traveling salesman to stay put. I know there have been many ports of call, and there will be
Many more. But that's no reason for me not to be grateful for what you will have left behind. For me.
Marion, I...
There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you.
Placing her hand on his chest, her hazel eyes search his face. His brown eyes study her. He leans and she meets his lips. Slipping her hand to his shoulder, then to the back of his neck, he gathers her to him.
There was love.
Marion, there are a lot of things you don't know about me.
Psst, hey, Greg.
Excuse me. I was expecting a cable from Hector Berlioz. This could be it.
Marion remains, arms raised.
What? Who's the salesman here? Looks like she's selling and you're buying.
I have to keep her off balance, don't I? I told
her
that.
She's so far off balance now, you can't tell her from a cat boat in a hurricane. Listen, the band uniforms just came in on the train. Tommy helped me collect. Here's most of the dough. The people are going to be screaming for music now, so you got to get out of here.
What time's the freight go?
9:40 from the junction.
Well, it isn't even 8:30 yet.
Look, you want a turtle whirl around here and get yourself caught up in a bunny trap, you go right ahead.
Don't worry, Marce. I'll meet you at the hotel in plenty of time. Your commission.
Oh.
Now I'll go collect mine.
Harold stuffs the bills into his coat pocket.
Now for a peaceful moment in the music business. Now then, where were we?
He leans toward her.
You're about to tell me what I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, we don't have to go into all that just now, do we?
No, we don't. Or ever, for that matter, Harold. The librarian hasn't felt much like doing research lately, but she did plenty when you first came here.
Oh? About what?
About Professor Harold Hill. Gary Conservatory of Music, gold medal class of Ought 5. Harold, there wasn't any Gary Conservatory in Ought 5.
Why, there certainly
was. Because the town wasn't even built until Ought 6.
You knew all the time?
I tore this page out of the Indiana Journal. It was originally intended to use against you, but now I give it to you with all of my heart.
But if you knew, why didn't you...
With his face between her hands, she kisses him. He blinks and wraps his arms around her. She pulls away and dashes off. Harold stares at the paper in his hand.
Why, you little...
outside the hotel.
While 110 cornets played the air, then I modestly took my place as the one and only bass, and I oompa'd up and down the square.
At the Peruse.
Good night, my someone, good night, my love.
With 110 cornets right behind.
Our star is shining its brightest light.
There were horns of every shape and sweet dreams be yours, dear, if dreams there be.
While 110 cornets play the air,
I wish I may, and I wish I might. Now good night, my someone, good night.
With the paper in hand, he pulls the lace curtain aside. The full moon brightens the dark night sky. In town, at the stage.
One Grecian earned. Two Grecian earned.
Oh, that's good.
And a fountain. Oh, trickle, 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 trickle,
stop.
Trickle, trickle,
trickle. Stop, stop, trickle. Stop! Listen to this man. He has something very important to tell all of us.
You gullible green grass goats. Can't you get it through your head that you're being swindled out of your eye teeth right now? This very minute? There's a burglar in the bedroom while you're fiddling in the parlor. I'm talking about Harold Hill. Road agent. Highwayman. Pickpocket.
Pickpocket?
Same thing.
Marcellus sneaks off.
Same thing. He's had his hand in your wallet, mister. And yours, madam. And yours, little lady, ever since the first moment he came to this town. Why, there is more documented evidence than you'll ever have time to read. There isn't any band. There never has been any band. There never will be any band.
Winthrop.
He runs off.
And unless you track this man down right now like a mad dog, there won't be any Harold Hill either, because he'll be on the next train out of town.
Now you believe me. So, what are we waiting for?
I want my money back.
Money back? I want his hide.
After him. And when you find him, bring him to the schoolhouse. After him.
I don't believe any of those things he said about the professor.
By the low road, look by the creek.
This is America. A man is innocent until proven guilty.
Don't you quote the constitutional to me, you young pup. That fellow doesn't have any pluribus unum to stand on. Try the mill. Back of the privy. Follow me. Out of my way.
In the hotel.
You gotta get out of here, Greg. There's an anvil salesman blew you out of the water.
Uh-oh.
Everyone in town wants a piece of you. Hurry.
Marcellus holds Harold's coat.
Here, go at the back.
See you around the pond.
Good luck.
Hat on head, case in hand, Harold hurries down the stairs and through the restaurant. A gang of people crowd the alley. Harold retreats to the front. More people gather in the street. Harold dashes up the stairs. Winthrop arrives as the crowd surges into the hotel. As a wagon passes, Harold throws a rope of sheets down. While Winthrop watches, Harold climbs out to the ledge and drops his case. He lowers himself, collects the case, and runs for the wagon. He hops on the back as the crowd charges into the street. Winthrop races home.
What's wrong?
I hate him.
Who?
The professor.
Frederick!
What happened?
He's a liar!
Frederick, tell me what happened!
Marion! I can't find your brother!
He's up here! Mother! What happened?
Harold peeks out. People scatter and chase. The foursome motors past.
Winthrop, open this door this second.
He's probably out the window again, Mama.
A tearful Winthrop climbs to his treehouse. Harold hops from the wagon and looks over his shoulder. He opens a tall gate and makes his way through the shadows to a back door. Winthrop sees him standing in the back porch. Harold wipes his brow.
Marion, let me in just for a minute.
You can't stay. You have to get out of here. Please go, please. Harold, they're even talking about tar and feathers.
Marion, I had to see you. I was writing you a letter.
It's all right. Don't you know that? You don't owe me a word. Not a word now. Please, hurry.
I hate you. I hate you.
Winthrop.
Winthrop kicks Harold.
I hate you, you liar.
Wait a minute here, son.
I'm not your son. Leave me go.
Not till I talk to you for a minute.
I won't listen. You wouldn't tell the truth anyway.
I would, too.
Would not.
Would, too. Tell you anything you want to know.
Can you lead a band?
No.
Are you a big liar?
Yes.
Are you a dirty, rotten crook?
Yes.
Now leave me go, you big liar!
What's the matter? You wanted the truth, didn't you? Now I'm bigger than you, and you're gonna stand here and get it all, so you might as well quit wiggling. Now there's two things you're entitled to know. One, you're a wonderful kid. I thought so from the first. That's why I wanted you in the band. Just so you'd stop moping around feeling sorry for yourself.
What band?
I always think there's a band, kid.
What's the other thing I'm entitled to know?
Well, actually, the other thing isn't any of your business now that I think of it.
I wish you never come to River City.
No, you don't, Winthrop.
Yes, sir? You believe him?
I believe everything he ever said.
But he promised us.
I know what he promised us. And it all happened just like he said. The lights and the flags and the colors. And the symbols?
Where's all that?
In the way every kid in this town walked around here the last 3 weeks and looked and acted. Especially you. And the parents, too.
Does Mama wish he'd never come to River City?
No.
Well, you do, don't you?
No, Winthrop. I don't. Now go, please, Harold.
Go on, Professor. Hurry up!
I can't go, Winthrop.
Why not?
For the first time in my life, I got my foot caught in the door.
There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all, till there was you.
Her lip quivers. They kiss. He buries his hand in the curls at the base of her neck.
Craig! Craig! They're here! Get out! Get out any way you can!
Go on, Professor! Do as he says!
Marion's chin quivers and her lips press together. Tears glisten in her eyes.
Sorry, Morris.
The sheriff stands at the door. Harold offers his wrists.
Let's go.
We now return to the wonderful world of Disney.
Daytime at the gym.
As soon as I spoke to Charlie Cowell, it was oblivious to me that something had to be done.
Which is why I interrupted the program when I did. Rest assured, this snake in our bosom
would have been misapprehended by this time. Yes? And always remember, fellow river citizens, I can only remind you that I did everything in my power to prevent this dire happening from... happening.
What have you done to get our money back?
That professor collected nearly $300 for uniforms just last night.
You haven't seen any uniforms yet.
He's slippery, I told you.
I haven't seen my boy since just after supper.
He's a kidnapper.
Fine situation here.
The sheriff leads Harold in.
Virtue has triumphed. The sword of retribution has cut down Professor Harold Hill. And if there are those, as I have heard, who are melting tar and collecting feathers, I will not say them nay.
Well, I think there ought to be some of you who could forget our everlasting Iowa stubborn chip-on-the-shoulder arrogance long enough to remember River City before Harold Hill arrived. Do you remember? Well, do you? Surely some of you ought to be grateful to him for what he has brought to River City, and if so... I should think you would want to admit it.
You're wasting a great deal of time here. If there's a person in this hall who doesn't think this man Hill should be tarred and feathered, let him stand up.
Marion's mother looks around, then rises. The ladies rise and are joined by the young people. The audience stands. Last is Mrs. Shin.
Eulalie, sit down.
Marion's mother touches her elbow.
And the rest of you, standing there like a coat of Shropshire sheep. Have you people forgotten how you bought expensive uniforms, technical instruction books, and high-priced band instruments? Have you forgotten the clear understanding and warranty that your children would be taught to play in a band? Well, where's the band? Where's the band?
Marcellus waves in the boys in their red jackets with gold braid, white pants with a red stripe down the legs, and red and white plumes in their hats. Marion leads Harold by his cuffed hand to a brown wooden music stand. He surveys the band and tightens his lips. Marion takes a pointer from the chalkboard. She turns the music stand to face him. She breaks the pointer over her knee and offers the rubber-tipped end to him. He stares wide-eyed, then takes it.
Think, men. Think.
Play to me, son! Play to me!
Right away, Steve!
That's Eddie's clarionet!
Davy! My Davy!
That's my carrot!
The mayor nods to the sheriff, who unlocks the cuffs. Tommy blows the whistle and beats the drum. Harold and Marion smile. He steps forward and signals the band toward the door.
Through. That's Winthrop.
Marcellus tosses a mop. Harold conducts the band through the double doors and into the street. They form two ragged lines. Harold strides between them. The lines move through each other and reform two straighter lines. Harold prances back through the middle and throws the mop high in the air. It rotates several times and becomes a drum major baton in a cloud-filled blue sky. Harold catches the baton wearing a white uniform with gold braid. Crowds line the street as the band follows Harold. Amaryllis and three other children carry a banner that reads, River City Boys Band. Marion's mother marches behind the band playing a large drum. Girls in white dresses with blue sashes wave American flags. The foursome motors along wearing red and white striped top hats. Harold pumps the baton and prances back and forth and turns. Marcellus rings the bell on the fire truck. He blows a kiss to Ethel, who follows in a car with the ladies. They wear sashes that read, Votes for Women. The mayor waves. Mrs. Shin blows kisses. Marion runs from the store whose awning reads, Professor Harold Hill's Musical Emporium. She joins Harold and gives him a kiss. They march together, smiling. Description produced by Closed Captioning Services and WeCTV.com.